Last Sunday, we looked at Revelation in chapter 17 and verse 14. It speaks about, I was saying, the judgment that comes on Babylon, 17 and 18. And it speaks about the beast, the power and authority that he has, and all those who join with him. One purpose in verse 14, it says, they will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful. Those who are with him, those who are the overcomers, are the called, the chosen and the faithful. And we saw last Sunday what it means to be called, what it means to be chosen. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 14 that many are called, but few are chosen. And someone said, fewer still are faithful. So I want this morning that we think about this, what it means not only to be called and chosen, but what it means to be faithful, to be among the few who are faithful. And I want you to look at Hebrews in chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and verses 1 to 6. Hebrews 3, 1 to 6. It says there, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was in all his house. For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by his death so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we remain firm to the end. It says there that Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence in the boast of our hope, firm until the end. And I want you to see that our calling is to be faithful, not as a servant, but as sons. And that's what's on my heart for us. That we are called to be faithful, not as servants, but as sons and daughters. And it means daughters also. And that's our privilege under the new covenant, to be faithful as sons and daughters. It says that Moses was faithful as a servant, and God bears testimony to this. If you look at Numbers chapter 12, and this is what God says about Moses, Numbers chapter 12 and verse 6, you know, God said to Miriam and Aaron, who had complained about him, He said there, hear now my words. If there's a prophet among you, Numbers chapter 12, verse 6. Hear now my words. If there's a prophet among you, I the Lord shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household. With him I speak mouth to mouth, even openly and not in dark sayings. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses? What a testimony that God bears of Moses. He says that, you know, Moses, he's faithful in all my household. And he said, I speak with him mouth to mouth. And he asked Miriam, why were you not afraid to speak against my servant? And the Bible speaks much of the faithfulness of God. And because God is faithful, we are called, you and I, who are called to be sons and daughters, we are called to be faithful also. It says that he remains faithful even though we are faithless. That's his character. He cannot change. He cannot deny himself. Paul tells Timothy, he remains faithful. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we confess him, he will confess us. If we are faithful, faithless, he remains faithful. And that's the character of God. And therefore, if we are sons and daughters, We must bear His character. We are called to be faithful also. And the Bible speaks much about faithful men and about the faithfulness of God. We read so much about the faithfulness of God. The psalmist says that I'll speak about your faithfulness. I'll sing about your faithfulness every morning. And we can testify to that. We can say that God has really been faithful in so many situations, so many circumstances. And there are many examples of faithful men in the Bible. I want you to look at what Nehemiah says in Nehemiah chapter 7 and verse 2. Nehemiah chapter 7 verse 2. He says, I put Hanani, my brother, and Hananiah, the commander of the fortress, in charge of Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man and feared God more than many. That's what Nehemiah could say about his brother. He was not, it's not that because he was his brother, he was a favorite. He said, he was a faithful man and feared God among many. Isn't that a wonderful testimony to have? That even somebody is a member of our family, we don't project him, but if to see that he's faithful, he's a faithful man and feared God among many. And then Nehemiah chapter 9, you know, Nehemiah says there in verse 7, chapter 9, he says, you are the Lord God who chose Abram and brought him out from Ur of the Chaldees and gave him the name Abraham. You found his heart faithful before you and made a covenant with him to give him the land of the Canaanite and the Hittite and so on, to give it to his descendants. And you have fulfilled your promise, for you are righteous. You found his heart faithful before you. And that's why God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. You look at Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 3. We read this about Daniel. It says, then this Daniel, Daniel 6 verse 3, then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Then the commissioners and the satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs. But they could find no ground or accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. What a man. Here's a man in government service holding a top post and second in command of the whole country. He said they couldn't find any negligence or corruption in him. He said he was a faithful man. What a testimony to have, my brothers and sisters, that in our work spot and if we hold responsibility in whatever we do, that people could say of us, he's a faithful man, she's a faithful woman. Do we seek for that? Do we think, you know, it's not possible, you know. What could be so more corrupt in the country that Daniel lived in? Yet he was an example. It says that he possessed an extraordinary spirit. And you and I can have that extraordinary spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that makes us extraordinary. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us to be faithful. You and I cannot be faithful no matter how much we determine and we try. But when we are filled with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit comes upon us, people will see he's a faithful man. She's a faithful woman. To have such a testimony. And Paul many times speaks about, you know, some of his workers. 1 Corinthians, you can look at some verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. He speaks there, but Timothy, my beloved and faithful child. That's what Paul could say of Timothy. 1 Corinthians 4:17. Timothy, my beloved and faithful child. In another place, he says that Timothy served him as a son serving his father, not as a servant. As a son serving his father. In Colossians in chapter 1 and verse 7, we read about Epaphras, a faithful servant of Christ. In Colossians 4 and verse 7, we read about Tychicus. It's another Paul's workers, our beloved brother and faithful servant. In Colossians in chapter 4 4 in verse 9, he speaks about Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother. Those are the workers that Paul had, faithful brothers. They were servants of Christ, but they were faithful. And that's our calling, my brothers and sisters, to be servants, to be faithful, not as servants, but as sons, like Paul's co-workers. We read in Revelation and chapter 2 about a man called Antipas in the church in Pergamum. And this is Jesus' testimony concerning Antipas. He says, I know where you dwell. He's speaking to the leader of the church in Pergamum. He says, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast my name and did not deny my faith even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one. This leader was faithful and he held fast. But you know, there were some things that the Lord had to correct in the church in Pergamum. But he speaks there about Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. Just imagine, where Satan had put up his throne, there was a man, Antipas. There was a man, there was a leader in the church in Pergamum who were faithful. The place where Satan dwelt, they were faithful. Antipas lost his head, he lost his life just by being faithful. And so, we read here what we read in Hebrews chapter 3. It says, you know, in one rendering, it says, Moses did a good job in God's house, but it was all servant work, getting things ready for things to come. For us, he served as a servant for Christ, who was a son, and for us who are called to be sons and daughters. So our calling is not to be faithful as servants. Our calling is to be faithful as sons and daughters. And if we can be gripped with that, my brothers and sisters, we are not servants, we are called. We have the spirit of adoption, that we can call God our Father. We can look up into His face and call Him Dad. And so, just like in our household, the son is not bothered if others are not doing their job. If he's mature, I'm not talking about the little ones, you know, they will complain against each other. But if he's a mature boy, he's a mature girl, they're faithful. If somebody is not doing their job, they will do it for them. That's what faithfulness is. And if we are members of God's household, we have to see whether we are servants or sons. If we are servants, we are not following Jesus, we are following Moses. If we are sons and daughters, we follow Jesus. And we can be faithful as He was faithful in God's house, what we read in Hebrews chapter 3. And so, the thing is that we are called to be sons and daughters in God's family. We are not called to be servants. Towards one another, we become servants. We serve each other as servants. But in God's house, in God's family, we serve as sons. And so when I serve my brothers and sisters, I serve as a servant, but I serve as a son of God, as a son that is following in Jesus' footsteps. And I want you to look at this and really ask ourselves this morning, are we in God's family as a son or as a servant? You know, Jesus said in John chapter 8 in verse 31, I'd like you to turn to it. Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed Him, listen to this. He is speaking now to the Jews who had believed Him. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son does remain in the house forever. So, if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. Do you see there? It's so clear there. Now, from that, I can understand whether I am a son or a servant, whether I am a son or a slave, whether you're a daughter or a slave. It says, the one who commits sin is a slave of sin. And the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains in the house forever. And we are set free, my brothers and sisters, to be sons and daughters. Jesus said, so if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. And so my question to us this morning is, am I free? Have I been set free from sin? We may be still battling it. We may be still defeated in some areas, but we are battling. That's the thing. I'm not a slave of sin. I don't just, say, no, I can't help it. This is how I am. This is how I live. I cannot help it. Then you're a slave. You're not a son. But we are called to be sons and daughters. And Jesus said, if the son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. And that's where we begin to see whether I'm in God's family. It's not enough that I've repented of my sins, I've received the forgiveness of sins, and I think now I have a ticket to heaven, I'm in God's family, I belong to a good church, and I come to the meetings, and I pray, and I have my quiet time and all that. Am I a son? Are you a son? Are you a daughter? Or you're just a slave, a servant. And you serve, you're faithful, but you're faithful as a slave. You're a follower of Moses, I want to tell you this morning. You're not a follower of Jesus. Moses did a great job. God commended him. He says, no one is faithful like him in my household. And we're not called to follow Moses. We're called to follow Jesus, my brothers and sisters. We're called to be sons and daughters. We are God's family. And you and I can be faithful and be in that number who are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. I hope you get it. I hope it grips our hearts that this is our calling. You know, the elder son, he remained in the father's house, but he was a slave. He was a servant. We see that very clearly there. The elder brother, if you turn to Luke chapter 15. You know the story there of the prodigal son. We don't have time to look at it. But, when this brother of his came back and the father received him back and, came back in rags. He came back without any shoes. He said, put a robe on him, put shoes on his feet, put a ring on his hand. The father took him and began. And they began to celebrate. They began to be merry. And it says there in verse 28, but this boy, the older boy, he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, look, for so many years I have been serving you and I have never neglected a command of yours. You think, what a great boy, isn't it? For so many years I've been serving you, I've never neglected a command of yours. And yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, forgot that it was his brother, when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. You see there, that so long he was in the father's house, so many years, he says there, for so many years I've been serving you, never neglected a command of yours, and you didn't give me a young goat to celebrate. You know, that can be you and me, my brothers and sisters. Even though he was a son, he lived as a servant in his father's house. And I like what the father said to him further down. He says, son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. He was blind to that. You've always been with me. And all that is mine is yours. What he was occupied with, I've served you for so many years, never neglected a command of yours. And here you're celebrating for this waster who has come by. You see it, my brothers and sisters. You know, there are people like that in God's household today. They serve and serve and serve sacrificially. They never neglect a command, but they are legalists. They are Pharisees. They are not sons, they are servants. And the servant doesn't remain in the house, we saw. The slave does not stay in the house forever. It's the son who stays in the house forever. And the father said to him that we had to celebrate and rejoice for this brother of yours. What a powerful story, that incident that is. It's not a parable, it's a true story. What a powerful word there for us. This brother of yours. Earlier he said this son of yours. You see the attitude there? And there we can distinguish whether we are sons and daughters or we are just slaves. That's where we begin. We cannot be faithful. We can be faithful, but we are faithful like serving like servants, like this older brother. Keeping the commands, keeping the rules and regulations, making sure that I don't do anything that I get into trouble in the church, making sure that I have my seat in the church. You're following Moses, my dear brother, sister, whoever you may be, however long we may have been in this church. We are not to be followers of Moses, we are to be followers of Jesus. Even if we kept all the commands, what is the use? And we live as servants. All that is mine is yours. The Father says to us, you've always been with me. And do we miss that? We're more occupied obeying rules and regulations and keeping commands. We don't miss that the Father says, all that is mine is yours. And you've always been with me. That's what happens. The younger brother whom he despised and who came back to be a servant. I hope you see it here. You know how he said, I'll go back. There are servants in my father's house who have enough to eat. What am I doing here eating pig's food? I'll go back. He came to his senses. And he came not, even though he may not have repented, it was food that brought him to his father's house. But I believe that he repented thoroughly when he came back home and saw the Father with open arms to receive him and embrace him and take him back. He came back to be a servant, but he became a son. And he remained in the house forever, I believe. I don't know what happened to the older brother. I don't know whether he repented of his attitude, reconciled with his brother, and lived together in fellowship with him. I don't know. It's very hard, I see, that for legalists and Pharisees to really recognize and see their own need. I've seen that through the years I've been in the church. It's very hard for legalists and Pharisees to see that they are sons and daughters and remain that way. And the servant, like we said, doesn't remain in the house forever. There are two things that keep us back from being sons and daughters. Only two things. One is sin and the other is legalism. Sin and legalism. Phariseeism. And if these two things are there, we can never become sons. I'll never see my place as a son. I never see God as my father. I never see that the Father says to me, you're always there with me. I'm always there for you. All that is mine is yours. We are so occupied in keeping rules and regulations. We're so occupied looking at the speck in our brother's eye or in our sister's eye. We never become sons. We never become daughters. We remain as servants, and that's a sad thing. Sin and legalism warps our understanding of God, my brothers and sisters. And the devil would hide that from our eyes, that you and I are called to be sons and daughters, not servants. And when I see that I'm a son and you're a daughter, I'll be faithful, just as Christ was faithful as a son. That is our calling. I hope you see it. And that's why I reserve this, that we think about it on one Sunday. We are called and chosen, and we can be faithful as sons. It's the same attitude that slave who was given the one talent had. You see it there, the elder brother attitude. You turn to Luke chapter 19. You see it in Scripture, the attitude. You see it right in the beginning with Cain. That's where it started. The way of Cain. It goes down. You see it in the elder brother of the prodigal son. We see it in this man who was given one talent. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verse 21. And when the others were commended, and the master said there, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I'll give you charge of more possessions, enter into the joy of your master. But this man, who was given one talent, he says, I was afraid of you. Verse 21. I was afraid of you. Are you in God's family always afraid? Afraid of what others are talking about you? Afraid of what the opinion the elders have of you? Afraid of what God thinks about you? Are you like that, my brother, sister? I was afraid of you because you're a hard and exacting man. You take up what you did not lay down and reap what you did not sow. He said to him, by your own words, I will judge you, you worthless slave. Did you know that I'm a hard, exacting man, taking up what I did not lay down and reaping what I did not sow? Why did you not put my money in a bank? And I got back what I gave you with interest. So I want you to see that our understanding of God determines whether we become sons or slaves. This man said, I know you to be a hard, exacting man. Is that the attitude we have in the church? The elders are hard, exacting people. That's because that's the opinion you have of God. God is a hard, exacting man, always waiting to knock you over the head when you slip up and fail. You've not seen God, my brothers and sisters. You're like the elder brother. You're in the Father's house, keeping rules and regulations, fitting into CFC, doing so many things, sacrificing, denying yourself, but you're serving as a servant, not as a son. And a sad thing it is. And so whether we become sons and daughters or remain as servants, all depends on our understanding of God. What is the opinion I have of God? Do I see Him as my Father, who is always there for me, and all that He says, all that I have is yours? Or I'm occupied that, you know, I've got to keep the rules and regulations. Yeah, we battle against sin. We have to overcome sin. But I'm not always occupied with that. I'm not always looking inside. And that's how I see God, a hard, exacting man. And so I have to live up to His expectation. I thank God. I can say before Him, I've been freed from that. I don't seek to live to His expectation. I just surrender myself to Him and let Him work in me and bring out His character in my life. Do that, my brother and sister. The Christian life is an easy life. It's not a hard life. There are no burdens. It's not a boring life. It's an exciting life. And if we are following the Jesus of the Bible, we'll find our place in God's family as a son and as a daughter. We are following Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, not our imaginary Jesus, who's always waiting to pull us up, always waiting to, you know, some people think punish us. Oh, this happened to me because I think God is punishing me. God is not a father. He's a schoolmaster. You know that we can see it, my brothers and sisters. It's liberating. That's why Jesus said, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. To be free, to be a son, to be a daughter. That is our calling. And then we can be faithful. It's a difference between a son in the house and a servant. Some of us have helpers in the house. You know, their faith, some of them can be really faithful. I know, I've seen it many times in households, so faithful. And you know, I mean, sometimes I ask, they say, you know, they served for many years. So from young. But they're serving as servants. But a child, a son and a daughter who serves, it's different. The attitude of a son who serves and the attitude of a servant who serves, it's quite different. That's how it is in God's family. We're called to be faithful as sons. That's what's on my heart for us this morning. Find your place in God's family as a son, as a daughter. Not just something that you comfort yourself in, but something that makes you secure. Something that makes you want to be faithful. You want to be faithful.
you follow Jesus because you see that he was faithful. Jesus is called the faithful and true witness. It says many times, you look at Revelation chapter 1. It starts there, Revelation chapter 1. John writing, he says, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, Revelation 1:5, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. And then in Revelation in chapter 3, verse 14, Jesus writing through John to the angel, to the leader of the church in Laodicea, he said, write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness. The beginning of the creation of God says this. Again in Revelation in chapter 19 and verse 11, John says, I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he who sat on it, called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. Faithful, the faithful and true witness. And so if we are following the Jesus of the Bible, like I said, we will also become faithful. Isaiah chapter 11, you know, Isaiah prophesying, and this is concerning Jesus, it says there that righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. Righteousness the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. That's the Jesus of the Bible, my brothers and sisters. And we are called to follow him, to be faithful like he was faithful, because he was a son. He was not a servant. He was not an angel. The angels are ministering spirits. They serve God. Jesus came as a son, and he served, and we are to follow him. In Psalm 37, verse 3 to 6, it says, trust in the Lord. Psalm 37, 3 to 6, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. If I cultivate faithfulness, wherever God puts me, you know, I'm not thinking, no, if I go there, if I belong to that church, if I go to that country, then I can be faithful to God. It's very difficult here in India. Very difficult, you know, in the situation that I have. It says, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. You and I can do that. We can cultivate faithfulness. Not in our own strength, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Young people, cultivate faithfulness. Delight in the Lord, it says, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. That's a liberating word. All I need to do is cultivate faithfulness. Delight in the Lord and commit my way to him. And it says there that he will bring forth our righteousness as the light. And in Proverbs in chapter 28 and verse 20, it says, a faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who makes haste to be rich will not go unpunished. A faithful man, a faithful woman will abound with blessings. Where does faithfulness begin? I want you to see it. We've seen very clearly that we are called to be faithful as sons and daughters. Where does it begin? Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. You know, we always think of faithfulness, something great, some great responsibility, trust upon us. And, you know, oh, if I'm given this to do in my work spot, if I take charge there, I can be faithful. And we compare ourselves with others. But I want you to see in Matthew 25, and this is really spoken to my heart, Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21. We are looking at the master, it says in verse 19, who came and settled accounts, you know, with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I've gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, listen to this, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And same, the one who had the two talents. And the master commends him. He says, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. But the one we just looked at, the one who received one talent, had a different attitude. You're a hard man. He was not faithful with the few things, with the one thing, the one talent that he was given. And that's where faithfulness begins, my brothers and sisters, to be faithful in few things. Not in many things, in the few things. God gives us few things. He's given you one talent, be faithful with that one talent. He's given you one job to do. Maybe it's cleaning the toilets, maybe it's sweeping the floor, maybe just a little responsibility. Be faithful. You can cultivate faithfulness. Because you're a son, you're a daughter, you serve as a son. If you're a servant, then you can have this person's attitude. So faithfulness begins with a few things. And it says there that the other thing I want you to see there in Matthew chapter 25 in verse 14, it says that he gave, to one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, verse 14, each according to his own ability. Each according to his own ability. He didn't give them more than they could handle. God does not give you and me more than we can handle. According to our ability. That much of responsibility, whether it's in your work spot, whether it's in the church, you don't think, oh, you know, why have I not been asked to take charge of this? I have ability, I have experience. If you look at it, that God gives us, that he gives us gifts according to our own ability. If he gives us too much, we can't handle it, we get puffed up, we get proud. And this is what really spoke to my heart, that God gives us each according to his own ability. And so therefore to be faithful with few things, whatever it may be. And God will give us more, so that we can be faithful. And the other thing I want you to see is in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. It's the same incident there. The same attitude, but you know, this is about the unrighteous steward, who Jesus commended, you know, because he was so shrewd. And in Luke chapter 16 and verse 10, you know, before that, Jesus said in verse, you know, when this man, all the debtors that his master had, he called him and he said, you know, take your bill and write 80, verse 7. The master praised the unrighteous manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by the means of the wealth of unrighteousness, so that when it fails, they will receive you into the eternal dwellings. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Now I want you to see what that little thing is. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, that is money, who will entrust the true riches to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth, or God and money. And they said the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things and were scoffing at him. Do you see that Jesus said money is a little thing? You know, the world thinks it's a great thing. That's how it is in the world. That's the spirit of the world. It's a big thing. You get an increase in salary, you get an increment, or you get some windfall, somebody leaves you some inheritance, and oh, you're buoyed with joy. And you're so taken up, and sometimes you can lose it because you see money as a big thing. But Jesus said, it's a little thing. That's what I want you to see this morning, my brothers and sisters. We are called to be faithful in little things, in the use of money. And You cannot serve God and money. If you love money, you can never be faithful. If money is a big thing for you, you're always thinking about how you can make more. I want to say to you this morning, you cannot be faithful. Jesus said there that if you're faithful in a little thing, He can entrust more to us. In 2 Kings 12 verse 15, I like this word there about these who built the temple. It says, moreover, they did not require, 2 Kings 12 verse 15, moreover, they did not require an accounting from the men into whose hand they gave the money to pay to those who did the work, for they dealt faithfully. You see there? The men who were given money to take care of the building of the temple, the repairs and all that, they didn't require an accounting because they dealt faithfully. What a testimony to have. They were not interested in getting commission. That's the big thing in business. And I detested it. I always told my clients, pass on the commission. I told my dealers, pass on the commission to my clients. I didn't make money with commission. Now you may have your own opinion about that. But I see that it can draw us into loving money, into running after money. You know, we have our own favorite suppliers. People have their own favorite suppliers. So they get some commission, if not in money, in kind. I saw that in business in 35 years. Somebody donate a refrigerator. Somebody donate something else. You cannot serve God in money. That's what I proved. And I thank God that He gave me the grace to keep faithful there. I was not interested in commission. I didn't want to love money. I sought the Lord and I still seek Him. Because as we have heard in this church, it's like an onion skin in the love of money. And we need to cleanse ourselves. It's a little thing, my brothers and sisters. I want to say to you this morning, ask the Lord to help you to see it's a little thing. And if you're faithful in a little thing, then God can entrust to us the true riches. He can. That's why very few, like I said, few are faithful. Many are called, few are chosen, and few are still are faithful. Particularly when it comes to money. We see it as a big thing. And we see how I can make a little more. I'm not saying it's not a sin if you can earn a little more in your work, but earn it righteously. People in real estate and property, hold so much of things. There's so much of sin in business, in buying and selling. All of us look to see how we can get a good bargain. There's no sin in that. Don't mistake me. But if I'm hankering after that, if all the time I'm thinking about it, then money is not a little thing, it's a big thing. And God cannot entrust to you and me the true riches, my brothers and sisters. I want to say to you young people especially, see it as a very little thing. Be faithful. Be faithful. God will entrust to you the true riches. This church will go on. Because you have the true riches to be able to teach others. That's the other thing I want you to see. That when we become faithful, not just for ourselves to get a good testimony, he's a faithful brother, he's a faithful sister, we are called to teach others also to be faithful. You see that in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 39. You know, this is Jesus' words. He said, but be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. You too be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Listen to this. Peter said, Lord, are you addressing this parable to us or to everyone else as well? And the Lord said, and Jesus said, who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. Faithful and sensible steward. And Paul said to Timothy, he says, the things which you, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you like, you can look at it. Verse 2, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men, not to any men, not to capable men. Entrust these to faithful men. Why? So that they are able to teach others also. This is what Paul told Timothy. The things you've heard from me, what you've seen in my life, entrust these to faithful men, not capable men. We don't need capable men in the church. We need faithful men, my brothers and sisters. We don't need capable, experienced brothers in the church. Thank God if you do have capability and experience. No sin in that. But humble yourself and be faithful. Be faithful in little things. Faithful and sensible in marriage. In our marriage vows, to live with our partners in sanctification and honor. Others could see us. The way we live with our partners, that we can teach them by our life and example that we are faithful. We're not fooling around in the work spot. We're not flirtatious men. That we are faithful. You know, God says this in Malachi in chapter 2. What I was saying about living with our wives in sanctification, known as 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 4, if you like, you can make note of it. That we live with our partners in sanctification, honor, not like the Gentiles. In our relationship, physical relationship. And this is what God says in Malachi chapter 2. He says, here's a second offense. Verse 13. You will fill the place of worship with your whining and sniveling. This is a Message Bible. Because you don't get what you want from God. Do you know why? Simple. Because God was there as a witness when you spoke your marriage vows to your young bride. And now you've broken those vows. Broken the faith bond with your vowed companion, your covenant with God, your covenant wife. God, not you, made marriage. His Spirit inhabits even the smallest details of marriage. And what does He want from marriage? Children of God, that's what. So guard the spirit of marriage within you. Don't cheat on your spouse. Be faithful. So you say, well, faithfulness permeates every area of our lives. Our business life, our home life, our work life, my brothers and sisters. And if we are sons and daughters, we will be faithful. Faithful as a son and faithful as a daughter. May God give us grace for this. My brothers and sisters, we can be among the fewer who are not only called and chosen, but also faithful. Faithful sons and daughters. And in closing, Jesus said to this church, the leader of the church in Smyrna, one of the churches, you know, that he never had to censor for anything. He says, I know your tribulation, Revelation chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And the blasphemy by those who say they are Jews, or those who say they are Christians or believers and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. It's all measured. 10 days and ten, not more than 10 days. Be faithful unto death, Jesus says. And I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And he who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. May we be in that number. Faithfulness can never, when we are faced, that means giving our own life, being faithful unto death, it begins long before that. It cannot suddenly happen. And I am called to be faithful to Christ in a situation where it may cost me my life, where I may be thrown into prison. But that's in God's hands, 10 days only. Be faithful unto death, Jesus said to this leader. And that begins now, my brothers and sisters. Not suddenly when we are faced with persecution, suddenly when we are faced in a situation where, you know, confessing Christ may cost not only our job, we may be thrown into prison. It begins now. But I'm willing to lay down my life for my brothers and sisters. Be faithful unto death. In the different situations, I'm willing to lay down my life for my partner. not holding on to my rights. In my relationship with the brothers and sisters, I'm willing to lay down my life because Jesus laid down His life for us. You all know John 3:16 tells us, because He laid down His life, we lay down our lives for the brethren. Be faithful unto death. We'll be among that few who will be with Him on that day. What a glory it is. I hope you see it. I want to be in that number. The called, the chosen, and the faithful. Faithful unto death. May God give me grace, and may God give you grace, my brothers and sisters, that we are faithful in the few things, faithful with little things, particularly the use of money. Be faithful in our relationship with our partners, faithful in laying down our lives for each other. May God help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that You would impress Your words on our hearts. Help us to be in that number, Lord Jesus, with You on that final day that will overcome. Make us overcomers now, Lord, that we may be faithful in little things and faithful particularly the use of money, faithful in relationships. Lord, help us. We live in terrible times, but thank You that You've given us Your Holy Spirit, that we can receive power, Lord, that we can follow You and be faithful as a son and daughter. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank God for what we heard this morning. Being faithful in small things is a big thing indeed. People think that being faithful in small things is very insignificant, but it is not. As we read, he who is faithful in little things will be faithful in much also. So it is very true that God entrusts spiritual responsibility to people who are faithful in little things, and especially faithful in money matters. When they are faithful in finances, then God gives grace to them and spiritual responsibility. As I was listening, my eyes fell on one particular word which I had not considered to be something, but today it came very powerfully to me in connection with what we were listening to. That's in Proverbs 11, verse 29. Proverbs 11, verse 29. He who troubles his own house will inherit wind, and the foolish will be servant to the wise-hearted. See, in connection with what we were listening to, this verse came very powerfully to me, that the person who troubles his own household will inherit wind. See, we are all called to be sons in God's kingdom and in God's house. But if we keep troubling our home, which is the church, we will only inherit wind. There's a verse somewhere, I can't find the reference right now. It says they swallowed wind and delivered whirlwind, something like that. So, you know, we think that we are making progress, but ultimately what comes out of us is just wind. You know, you can't catch wind. It is something that is very elusive and, you know, deceptive. You can't really hold it in your hand. You can't really, you know, say that it's mine. So if being in the church we cause trouble, then our ultimate reward will be only wind. And it says the foolish will be servant to the wise hearted. That means a foolish son will be servant. He will be degraded or demoted from being a son to a servant to the wise hearted. There is another verse in Proverbs. It says a wise servant is better than a son. And you know, Proverbs, especially young people, it's very good for you to read every day. If you can read one chapter each day, it will help you, strengthen you. It says that if you want to be wise, the first requirement is that you decide to be wise. When you decide to be wise, that's the first step that you are taking to be wise. And then you will come to experience the wisdom of God. And we were thinking about being faithful. You know, Paul says, God considered me faithful in putting me into the ministry. You see, Paul was a faithful man from his childhood. But somewhere along the way, he sidetracked and he thought he was doing God a service by killing Christians. But God had to have mercy on him. The essence of God is his faithful character, his faithfulness. And because he is faithful, he makes us faithful, and he made Paul faithful, and that's why Paul could say, he considered me faithful and put me in the ministry. And you know, because God is faithful, he establishes us. We read that in 2 Thessalonians 3:3. It says, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. He is faithful. Because he is faithful, he will strengthen, he will establish, he will confirm, he will establish you. And then he will protect you from the evil one. You know, sometimes we come to crossroads and wonder, what's happening to me? Sometimes we feel that it is too much for us. See that we read in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is a verse which one brother gave me when I was a young Christian. I was battling sin and he gave me this verse. 1 Corinthians 10:13, this was many, many years ago, more than three decades. 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. That means no temptation is irresistible. You can overcome it. You can't say it is too much for me. Some people say it is too much for me and they go and commit suicide. There is nothing that you cannot conquer. According to this verse, there is nothing that God allows in your life which you cannot conquer. People take their life away thinking that it is too much for them. Please take heart, my brothers and sisters. This verse says, no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Because God is faithful, he will not allow you to be tempted beyond your capacity, beyond your ability. He will give you, if you are in the first standard, he will give you only the first standard question paper. If you are in PhD, he will give you only that. He will not give you a PhD paper when you are in the fifth standard. That is what it means. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure. With the temptation, he makes a way of escape so that we can escape it. You know, because we read in Hebrews 3, because they refused to listen to him. They refused to let him have his way. When God wants to deal with us, we push him here, we push him there. We don't allow him to do his work. And then at the end, we ask God, Lord, what's happening? Then God will say, yeah, I wanted to do a work in you, but you didn't allow me to do. Do we have to hear that from God when we stand before him on that day? We never listen and we never believe. And we have to reap what we sow. This is what it says. And, you know, when some people are on their deathbed, and when they have lost their mental faculties and they are senile, sometimes they wonder, what's happening to me? What happened to my faith? You know, one brother was asking me, I don't seem to have any faith left in me. I'm so devastated. What should I do? Looks like I have, you know, blasphemed against the Holy Spirit and things like that. You know, Satan can take advantage of our weakness and can bring in so many thoughts in our minds and make us doubt our salvation. To such, we already read a verse that's in 2 Timothy 2, verse 11 onwards. It says, if we died with Christ, we shall also live with Christ. If we endure with him, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. You see, in the context of these above verses, it says if you do this, then he will do that. If I endure or suffer with him, then I'll reign with him. If I die with him, I will live with him. If I deny him, he will also deny me. But there is a very powerful and encouraging last line. It says, if we are faithless, in the Living Bible it says, if we are too weak to have any faith left in us, he will not leave us. He will not forsake us. He will not remain faithless. He will not remain unfaithful to us. Because that is his character, that is his nature. He cannot be unfaithful. You see, there are certain things we think everything is possible with God, but there are certain things that are impossible with God. For instance, the Bible says that it is impossible for God to lie. Same way, it is impossible for God to be unfaithful to you. That is his character. It says, if you are faithless, a very encouraging word, he remains faithful. And because he cannot deny himself, because he cannot change his nature and character. And one last word I want to read and leave it with you. Those who are struggling, those who are really battling, just claim this verse and always keep it in the forefront of your mind. That's in 2 Timothy 4:18. 2 Timothy 4:18. You can make it your confession. The Lord will deliver me from every evil deed, will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Here I will sing a song and then we'll close in prayer. By and by when I look on his face. Come, brothers. By and by when I look on his face. Beautiful face. Thorn shy.